Can Christians celebrate Halloween? A Celtic harvest festival, a church holiday called All Hallows' Eve, and a Bible passage about meat sacrificed to idols. It's more layered than yes or no. The night nobody in the Bible ever mentions. You won't find Halloween in scripture. It didn't exist yet. So this question isn't about finding a verse that names the holiday. It's about applying real biblical principles to a night with a genuinely layered history, part pagan, part Christian, part just modern candy and costumes. Where the night actually comes from, both halves of the story. Halloween's roots trace to Samhain, a real Celtic festival marking the harvest's end and the turn into winter, which folklore associated with a thinning boundary between the living and the dead. That's the pagan half of the story, and it's genuinely there. But there's a second, Christian half most people never hear. The Western Church has long kept November 1st as All Saints' Day, honoring believers who have died. Historians trace this date to the 8th century, when Pope Gregory III moved a Rome-based feast to November 1st, later extended churchwide by Pope Gregory IV in 835. The night before a holy day was called its Eve, and All Saints was also called All Hallows, from the old word for holy. All Hallows' Eve. That contraction is where the word Halloween itself comes from. See, 731 to 741. Pope Gregory III relocates a Rome feast honoring saints and martyrs to November 1st. 835, Pope Gregory IV extends All Saints' Day and its Eve, All Hallows' Eve, across the whole Western Church. 1517, Martin Luther posts his 95 Theses on the Wittenberg church door on October 31st, which is why some Protestant churches mark the day as Reformation Day instead. So the honest starting point is this. This particular night carries both a pagan harvest festival and a church feast day layered on top of it. Plus, today, a mostly secular candy and costume culture that most families experience as neither. The warning passage is worth taking seriously. Deuteronomy 18 verses 9 to 13. God warns Israel not to learn the practices of the surrounding nations, naming divination, sorcery, and mediums who consult the dead, calling these things detestable to him. Deuteronomy 12 verses 29 to 31. A related warning, don't inquire how pagan nations worship their gods in order to do likewise. These are real, serious warnings, and they're exactly why some Christians want nothing to do with a night historically tied to divination and contact with the dead, whatever it looks like today. The freedom passage is worth taking just as seriously. Romans 14 verses 5 to 6. One person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in their own mind. The one who observes the day observes it to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10 verses 25 to 27. Paul tells believers they may eat meat sold in the marketplace, even meat that may have been offered to an idol, asking no questions for conscience's sake, since the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Greek, idolathiton. Meat sacrificed to an idol. The exact word Paul uses for the first century version of this same question. How do you handle something with real pagan associations attached that most people around you no longer even think of that way? Paul's answer in 1 Corinthians 8 through 10 is genuinely the closest biblical parallel to Halloween that exists. His answer isn't avoid everything that ever touched paganism. It's more careful than that. An idol is nothing, so the object itself doesn't automatically defile you. But watch your own conscience, and watch whoever's watching you, because love for a weaker brother outranks your own freedom. So how do sincere Christians land on this? Step away from it entirely. Given the real occult and divination associations in Halloween's history, still visible in some of its modern imagery, and Deuteronomy's clear warnings, many Christians choose not to participate at all, treating it as a night better used for quiet distinctiveness than for celebration. Redeem or replace the night. Many churches lean on the holiday's actual Christian layer, All Saints, All Hallows, even Reformation Day, and intentionally reclaim the evening with harvest festivals, trunk or treat events, or Reformation services, turning a culturally loaded night into a night of light and community rather than retreat. Participate with a clear conscience and real discernment. Following the 1 Corinthians 10 pattern, many Christians treat modern trick-or-treating, for most participants, as carrying little to no conscious pagan intent, similar to marketplace meat Paul says needs no questions asked. They join their neighborhood night with a clear conscience, while still drawing their own household's line on darker imagery like gore, witchcraft glorification, or divination games, according to their children's ages and their own conscience. Every camp here is actually reading scripture, not making it up as they go. The disagreement is about how much weight the pagan history still carries today, and where the line between the object and your own heart actually sits. What to actually do with this? Read Deuteronomy 18 in full, then read 1 Corinthians 8 through 10 in full. Notice Paul never once tells the Corinthians the idol meat question is settled with a rule. He teaches them how to think about conscience, love, and freedom, and trusts them to apply it. The question was never really about candy or costumes. It's the same question Paul kept coming back to. What does love for God and your neighbor actually ask of you tonight? Examine for yourself. If you have children, this is worth talking through as a family before the pressure of the actual night arrives, not during it. Pray it through, ask what your own conscience and your local church's wisdom says, and hold your answer with grace toward believers who land somewhere else.